Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
A very special day in the Jewish calendar begins tonight at sundown. So in trying to give meat in due season, I thought today I would give some history and meaning behind what the Jews call Tisha B'Av, or as it is translated in English, the ninth of Av. Throughout their history, the tribes of Israel just couldn't seem to get it together. From before they left Egypt, they were challenging God's authority. There were good leaders and bad leaders. When the good ones were in charge, things improved a bit. But it seems the trend was always downward. The 10 tribes were taken captive, and Judah was told by the prophets that they were next. But there were many in the nation who were sure that their security was assured. They were God's nation, and the very house of God was in Jerusalem. God would protect them, for if for no other reason, then he would not abandon his temple. It is because of this kind of thinking that God delivered a message to Jeremiah. And we find that message in Jeremiah chapter 7, and I'm going to read the chapter in the New Living Translation, because while it does differ a bit from the King James, I think it gives a sense of what was meant. Jeremiah 7, beginning in verse 1. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go to the entrance of the Lord's temple and give this message to the people. O Judah, listen to this message from the Lord. Listen to it, all of you who worship here. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Even now, if you quit your evil ways, I will let you stay in your own land. But don't be fooled by those who promise you safety simply because the Lord's temple is here. They chant, 'The Lord's temple is here, the Lord's temple is here.' But I will be merciful only if you stop your evil thoughts and deeds and start treating each other with justice. Only if you stop exploiting foreigners, orphans, and widows. Only if you stop your murdering, and only if you stop harming yourselves by worshiping idols. Then I will let you stay in this land that I gave to your ancestors to keep forever. Don't be fooled into thinking that you will never suffer because the temple is here. It's a lie. Do you really think you can steal, murder, commit adultery, lie, and burn incense to Baal and all those other new gods of yours, and then come here and stand before me in my temple and chant, 'We are safe,' only to go right back to all those evils again? Don't you yourselves admit that this temple, which bears my name, has become a den of thieves? Surely I see all the evil going on there. I, the Lord, have spoken. Go now to the place at Shiloh, where I once put the tabernacle that bore my name. See what I did there because of all the wickedness of my people, the Israelites. While you were doing these wicked things, says the Lord, I spoke to you about it repeatedly, but you would not listen. I called you out, but you refused to answer. So just as I destroyed Shiloh, I will now destroy this temple that bears my name, this temple that you trust in for help, this place that I gave to you and your ancestors, and I will send you out of my sight into exile just as I did your relatives, the people of Israel." And then in verse 27, he tells Jeremiah, "Tell them all this, but do not expect them to listen. Shout out your warnings, but do not expect them to respond." Jeremiah gave them many more warnings. Warnings that Nebuchadnezzar, who had already taken many Jews captive, including Ezekiel and Daniel, would not fail to take Jerusalem, a message he was even imprisoned by the king for delivering. And so we read in Jeremiah 52, and verse 12, "Now in the fifth month, on the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Eternal and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great men, he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls of Jerusalem all around. Now, although verse 12 says the temple burned on the 10th day of the month, tradition says the fire was started on the 9th. And as a result of several events in connection with the exile to Babylon, four fast days were established and kept while in Babylon, the most important of these being the 9th of Av, beginning tonight, commemorating the destruction of the temple that so many counted on to be their protection, because God certainly wouldn't allow that to be destroyed, would he? The Jews, of course, were exiled until the Persians conquered Babylon and allowed some to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And while it was being built, the people were considering this fast day and inquired of God about it. And we find this inquiry in Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7, I'm going to begin with verse 2, which says, "The people sent Sherezer with Regem-Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, 'Should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years?'" So they were asking about this day. They had just returned. The temple is now being built. Was the reason for all their fasting and weeping evaporating? And then verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, 'Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited, and the prosperous, inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowland were inhabited?' Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother.'" Now, these were some of the same words that he condemned them for through Jeremiah. And so then he reiterates what happened to those people. In verse 11, "But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate." So after this very discouraging description, not really answering their question, but telling them that they didn't fast appropriately, in verse 8, or chapter 8, he goes on to give some very encouraging words about what's going to happen. And in verse 16, he says, "These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath. For all these things are things that I hate, says the Lord." Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah, therefore love, truth, and peace." Now I said, God didn't tell them whether they should continue to fast or not, but he did say that if they were going to fast, they needed to do so for the right reasons. So whether they continued at that time or not, I don't really know. The second temple was completed. It was then totally rebuilt by Herod. Eventually, Jesus came on the scene, and they obviously had not learned their lessons. And about 40 years after killing the Messiah, the Romans conquered Jerusalem and again destroyed the temple. And remarkably, they did so on the same day of the year, the 9th of Av. So many, Jews in particular, continue to commemorate these temple destructions with fasting on this day. And that, as I said, begins tonight. The fact that the temple was destroyed twice on this day is bad enough. But the Jewish Talmud records three other events that also occurred on the 9th of Av. Interestingly, the first one is a tradition. They say that when the spies return from spying out the land in the days of Moses, that they gave a very evil report, and it was on the 9th of Av that the people said, "We will not go into the land." And you know what happened as a result of that. God said, "Then you will not go into the land." Two other events surrounding the days of Bar Kokhba, about 132 AD, and the year following also occurred on the 9th of Av. I won't go into details, but maybe in a message chat we can go into that. The Talmud was finished around 500 AD, but it seems the catastrophes surrounding this fast day have continued. Many people have cited other events. I could cite many more, including edicts expelling Jews from England, France, and Spain, all in different years, but all on the 9th of Av. And other events involving the Crusades, where many Jews were killed, and the First and Second World Wars, including the Holocaust. It is a remarkably sad day, and one wonders whether God has deliberately allowed so many events of this nature to occur on this date. So am I suggesting that we should fast tonight? I will merely refer you back to God's answer in Zechariah. Fasting is good, if done for the right reasons. Mourning the terrible events that have occurred on this day and the hundreds of thousands, even millions, who have died in those events can be sobering. But many of those situations could have been prevented if the people had been following God the way he wanted them to. Unless a fast like this can bring about meaningful change in the lives of those involved, it's not really accomplishing what it should. And this is true whenever we fast. Whether tonight, on the 9th of Av, on a day of our own choosing, or even on the Day of Atonement. It's easy to read these things in Jeremiah and Zechariah and wonder how they apply to us. We don't worship idols, or do we? We need to read these verses and others such as Isaiah 58, which focuses on fasting, and think about how these instructions to an ancient people apply to us. We may not mourn the destruction of an ancient temple, but many of us have lived through repeated church splits and the destruction or loss of physical buildings in our day. We live in a corrupt world. That world can affect us. We can't control others, but we have some control over our own lives. The 9th of Av can serve as a reminder that we are not perfect yet and need to reflect on how we can do better and apply God's instructions in our own lives.